This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in, or maybe you're feeling a little shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions in coming weeks. Look us up on the web while you're online, www.hawaiianeye.com, and there's a lot of interesting resources there. You can find our Facebook page, a link from our website, or go to facebook.com, Hawaiian Eye Center. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A. You'll see some references to some of the articles and things that we talk about on the radio show as well, on our Twitter feed and on Facebook. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ, and we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program today are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. That's Dr. Stephen Rhee and Dr. Nancy Lundblad. Doctors at Hawaiian Eye Center, including myself, I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor who specializes in the eyes. Now, we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice, but remember, I can't see through the telephone, so sometimes I'll have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, it's Super Bowl Sunday weekend. Super Bowl weekend. Super Bowl Sunday is tomorrow, since today is Saturday, at least when we're doing the live broadcast, it's Saturday. And so all this talk of football and sports and injured players and so forth makes me think that we should probably spend a little bit of time talking about eye injuries in sports. And there are a number of sports that have a high incidence of eye injuries. They may not always be the types of sports that you would think. For example, one of the highest risks of eye injuries occurs in basketball. And you'd think, well, why basketball? I mean, the basketball is pretty big. If it hits you in the face, it's not going to hurt your eye because it's too big to get in the eye socket itself. But it turns out that because people are kind of jockeying together at close proximity and reaching for the ball and so forth, that elbows and fingers in the eye are not uncommon injuries on a basketball court. You may be going up while someone else's hand is coming down and it pokes you in the eye, and that's not necessarily a good thing. So wearing eye protection appropriate to the sport that you're playing, particularly as a child, is important. Basketball players should be wearing eye protection to help protect them from these types of injuries. Now, children are at higher risk for injuries because children tend not to be quite as coordinated as adult professional players. Professional players have been doing this for a while. They know how to avoid injuries in some ways. And so not to say that protective eye equipment is not important for professional players, but it's even more important for children who are learning to play the game or who are playing in high school and college competitive environments where they do have a risk for injury in many different sports. So some of the sports that you should be aware of, okay, we talked about basketball, getting finger pokes and elbow pokes and arm pokes and other things in the eyes are a possibility, and those can cause serious injury to the eyes. In addition, sports like racquetball. Racquetball is a fast-moving sport with a small ball. The small ball is especially dangerous because it can get inside the orbit, the bony protective shell that protects the eye. And you know, you feel that if you feel all around your eye, there's a bone all around there that is nice and hard and protective, and that protects your eyes from many types of injuries, particularly with larger projectiles. But a small ball like a racquetball can get right inside that orbit and hit the eyeball itself and cause damage to the eyeball. So wearing glasses, safety glasses, when you're playing racquetball is critical as well. Football. Football is a sport which a lot of people are talking about this weekend, Super Bowl. And that is a sport that also is associated with eye injuries. Of course, any contact sport, the rate of injuries is higher. But eye injuries in particular can occur when the opposing player is being aggressive about grabbing or tackling the player who is perhaps has the ball, or players are blocking each other. Sometimes fingers and other parts of the body can go in through the helmet and affect and poke the eye as well, causing injury to the eye. So in football, it is a good idea to wear the appropriate head and eye protection as well. So whether you wear a helmet that has a cage that helps protect the eyes as well, or whether you wear a helmet with a shield or glasses underneath the helmet, it's a good idea to make sure the eyes are protected, particularly if your child or you as a player are in a position where you're likely to come in contact quite a bit with some of the other players in a rough manner, which is not uncommon in football, obviously. Baseball, what about eye protection in baseball? Well, of course, you could get hit in the face or in the eye by the baseball, so wearing a helmet is important. Eye protection specifically is less critical, although baseball players tend to be standing out in the sun for a while, so many of them, you notice the professional baseball players, many of them do wear sunglasses when they're out in the outfield and it's a sunny day, and that's a good idea not only to cut the glare and allow them to see the ball better, but also to reduce the incidence of damage to the eyes from ultraviolet light from the sun. Okay, so any kinds of sports, many of them, almost all sports now, particularly when played by children or played in a school setting, do have safety equipment associated with each individual sport. But you as a parent and as a teacher or any other individual who's taking care or looking at these types of sports teams among our children, you need to be aware that the protection needs to be adequate to the particular dangers of the sport, because you don't want to be dealing with having to worry about having everyone wear protection of their eyes or their head or something else after someone sustains an injury. You want to make sure that they're taking the appropriate precautions ahead of time so that injuries are less likely to be sustained. What do you want to look for in a protective eyeglass if you're looking for a sports protective eyeglass? Well, any kind of safety glasses that has shatter-resistant glasses and a frame which is also not subject to breaking or bending significantly is good. There are many sports glasses that are sold for specific sports in sporting goods stores. You may not need to go that fancy, though. Any of the safety glasses that are designed for use with work in the house with power tools and so forth are likely to be good bets for safety glasses for sports as well. There's a rating agency that puts an insignia on the side of the glasses if they are designed as safety glasses, as protective glasses, and that insignia usually contains the letters ANZI, and then there's a number after that, and that means that they're designated as safety glasses, so they're shatter resistant and have other features that make them safety glasses. And if your child wears glasses and is playing sports, you want to make sure to talk to the optician, the one who makes the glasses, about making sure that that child is protected in the event of injuries with the type of eyeglasses that they've selected. So there are two factors that go into that. One is the lens itself needs to be a shatter resistant lens, made usually of a polycarbonate material. So polycarbonate lenses are what we recommend. There's a new form of shatter-resistant lenses, I believe it's called Trivex, which is also being used. And the shatter-resistant lenses, and you want to make sure that the frames fit well, that the glasses are not going to fly off in the event of contact or running into another child on the basketball court or wherever they're playing, football field. So the glasses ought to probably have a strap, If your child is wearing contact lenses to see better while playing sports, that doesn't eliminate the need for glasses for safety. So you want to make sure that if the child puts on safety glasses, says, I don't want to be wearing my glasses when I'm playing, that you're not compromising safety as a result. All right, well, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the leading cause of blindness in the United States today.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
All right, welcome back, and you're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, and this is Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes, interestingly enough, on a program called The Eye Show. Interesting, we should be talking about eyes. Well, I promised that we'd talk about the leading cause of blindness in the United States today. And actually, I should qualify that. I should say it's the leading cause of preventable blindness in the United States today, although it depends on what age group you look at, I suppose, whether it's blindness overall or preventable blindness. But the important distinction is that this form of blindness is preventable, which means that it's something that can be treated, can be prevented in the vast majority of cases. So people who go blind from this condition are often going blind needlessly, meaning their vision could have been saved if they got in to see the doctor sooner. What is the condition I'm talking about? Well, the condition is diabetes. And people don't always think of diabetes as causing blindness. Often people think about diabetes as far as how it affects the blood sugar, or they think about diabetes in terms of how it affects the kidneys or the legs or some other part of the body. And diabetes can affect many parts of the body, and it is a kind of a stealthy disease because you don't always know you have it unless you get a blood test. Although there often are symptoms for people who have diabetes, it often has to be diagnosed by the doctor with blood tests and other things. So if you have diabetes, not only do you have to control the diabetes, control the blood sugars, monitor that, check for other things, but you also have to make sure to check the eyes on a regular basis. And the reason for this is because what diabetes does when it affects your body, one of the things it does is it causes changes in blood vessels of a certain size, and what we call medium-sized arterioles or venules. And these blood vessels happen to be just the type of blood vessels that occur inside your eye and nourish the eye. They bring blood and nourishment to the retina, the seeing tissue inside the eye. So when diabetes affects the inside of the eye, it affects these blood vessels in the retina, and the blood vessels become abnormal. And they, and basically when they become abnormal, they can cause bleeding, they can cause a other significant problems inside the eye that lead to, over time, lead to changes or problems that can permanently damage the vision. So the reason diabetes is a diabetic eye problems are usually preventable is that if we catch them at the early stages, we can prevent this process that goes from abnormal blood vessels to bleeding inside the eye, eventually to blindness. And so you definitely want to get checked regularly, because the early stages don't really have any symptoms as far as they affect the eyes. So that's something to bear in mind. If you have diabetes, get your eyes checked on a regular basis. A little bit more about diabetes coming up, but let's go to the phones. We've got Sally waiting for us over on Maui. Hi, Sally. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much. My daughter had a bump on the top of her eyelid. She wears a lot of fake eyelashes. And then it went away. She went to the eye doctor, and they were going to, like, do something to it, and they were just figuring out that it would go away. And then another bump appeared underneath on the underside of the eyelid. And then she went to another doctor, and they said, oh, that should go away. And then another bump appeared after that. So I just didn't know if there was a procedure that that they're missing, or that she's breaking out on her eyelids.
Okay, well, it is a form of breaking out on the eyelids, I suspect. Without looking at her, I can't say for sure, but my guess is that what she has is she has she's having these little recurrent little lumps called hordeolum or chalazion. These little lumps are basically clogged glands in the eyelids. They can occur on the upper lid or the lower lid. And when the gland gets clogged, the material that's in that gland gets stuck inside the eyelid, and it causes an inflammatory reaction. Inflammation causes some redness and swelling, and that's what gives you that lump. Sometimes it's tender and painful for a few days, sometimes it's not. But if that lump shows up, generally it often goes away by itself as well. But if she's getting it repeatedly, and is it always on the same eye?
Yes.
Okay. She's getting it repeatedly. That suggests that there's something going on that's causing the glands to get blocked on that side, but it could affect both eyes. Teenagers, young children, they have their glands are a little bit hyperactive compared with adults, and sometimes that by itself causes them to break out, like pimples on their face and so forth. And the same thing can happen around the eyes with these little chalazia, these little bumps on the eyelid. But there are things you can do to help reduce the chance that you'll get recurrent episodes. And they basically have to do with keeping the eyelids real clean and free of debris and making sure that the glands stay open. So what I usually recommend for people who are getting these recurrent chalazia, these little bumps on the eyelids, is a combination of warm compresses. Take a washcloth soaked in warm water and hold it against the lids for a couple minutes. And then cleaning of the eyelids or lashes. So then after the washcloth has basically done its best heating up the lids, then use your finger and the washcloth to gently clean back and forth across the base of the eyelashes, which is where these gland openings are. And that'll often help to keep them clear of debris and other things that might block them. And the heat helps to encourage the flow of oil out of these oil glands. I'd recommend treating both eyes, even though she's had the symptoms only on one side. And you can see if that helps the thing from coming back or not. You know, if not, when you next time you go to the eye doctor, let them know that this is a recurrent problem and anything that she can do to help prevent that.
Well, the she doesn't have any on the outside, but does that, like, penetrate through to the inside of the lid?
Right. So the glands are in the middle of the lid. So if you think about the upper and lower lid, but the openings of the glands are right sort of near where the base of the eyelashes are.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's where the pathology occurs. When the gland gets clogged, it's right there near the base of the lashes. So although the lump is actually higher up in the lid, generally, that's where the problem occurs, is when the gland, the opening of the gland, gets blocked over by the eyelashes.
Can that infection spread into the cornea?
That's extremely unusual. That would usually not happen.
Or go in the back of the eye?
No.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, good luck with that.
Bye.
So the chalazia or hordeola little lumps on the eyelids that are inflammatory in nature but occur when a gland is clogged. So in a sense, it's like a pimple on your eyelid. Same thing happens to the glands in our skin, particularly when we're teenagers or when we've been doing other things that make us break out, where the glands get clogged and the thing swells up and gets red and inflamed looking, and that looks like a pimple. So similar thing can happen on the eyelids. A little bit different process, but not too different. So similar type of thing. We were talking about diabetes and how it affects the eyes. And I did come across an interesting little presentation that was done at a recent meeting by a Chinese ophthalmologist who was talking, a Chinese doctor that was talking about the prevalence of diabetes in China. And this particular doctor gave a presentation talking about what is driving up the prevalence of diabetes in China. So I'm going to read some excerpts from his talk here. His name is Dr. Ronald Ma from Chinese University of Hong Kong, and he was at the World Diabetes Congress in Dubai, and he was talking about the epidemic of diabetes in Asia. He says, "What we have seen over the past 20 years is a marked increase in the prevalence of diabetes in Asia, and this has become a big public health problem. What I'd like to particularly talk about is diabetes in relation to East Asians, for example, the Chinese population. In Hong Kong, where I come from," this is the doctor at the diabetes conference from Hong Kong, "diabetes, especially type 2 diabetes, is very common and affects more than 1 in 10 individuals. Why is it that we're seeing such a marked increase in diabetes? Of course, recent changes in lifestyle factors, dietary factors, and decreased activity have all played an important role. What we've also seen recently is that other factors associated with urban lifestyle, for example, decreased amount of sleep, seem to be associated with the increased prevalence of diabetes in the region." That's interesting. So they found an association between sleep deprivation or decreased amount of sleep and diabetes prevalence. Interesting. "Some of the things that characterize diabetes in East Asia are that the patients are often fairly lean. They often have a very strong family history, and they have a predisposition to central obesity. What's that? Central obesity is when people gain weight around their middle, around their abdomen, rather than, say, in their thighs and hips. What we've learned from epidemiology studies is that a large proportion of our patients often have first-degree relatives with diabetes and, in fact, have inherited genetic factors associated with type 2 diabetes. One of the more important roles of genetic factors in the pathogenesis of type 2 diabetes in East Asians is that East Asians seem to have a particular problem with beta cell insulin secretion capacity." So this is a genetic predisposition to diabetes. Okay. So they said that Asian patients also tend to have more kidney complications, and then people who have younger onset diabetes also have significant eye-related problems. So interesting, we're talking about diabetes as a leading cause of blindness in the U.S., and it is a growing source of illness in Asia and in China in particular. And this is interesting. In a lot of cases, diabetes, particularly type 2 diabetes, although it does seem to have a familial tendency, in other words, if someone in your family has it, it increases your risk, it also is in large part seems to be related to the body not functioning as well as it could from the standpoint of gaining weight. So people who have decreased activity, who are more sedentary, couch potatoes, as it were, people are going to be sitting around on the couch all day tomorrow watching the Super Bowl, but if you're a couch potato the rest of your life, and that increases the risk for diabetes. And if you don't eat the right foods, and if you eat a lot of fatty foods or eat too much or are overweight, those all significantly increase your risk for type 2 or adult onset diabetes. So interesting little report from Hong Kong, well, actually from Dubai, but from the doctor from Hong Kong, who is pointing out that the incidence of diabetes in Asia is growing due to a large number of factors. I've also heard that heart disease and diabetes are increasing in Japan because they've also changed their diet significantly over in recent years as well, and changed their activity and lifestyle. And so as our American and Western influence is spreading to other parts of the world, people are becoming more oriented to a leisure lifestyle. and less to activities and less to paying less attention to appropriate diet than these heart disease, diabetes, and other factors, stroke risk is going to be increasing, unfortunately, over time, particularly as the population ages. All right, we're going to take a short break for the news. When we get back, it'll be time to take your calls. So get ready and then give us a call.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying.
All right, here we are now in the second half of the Hawaiian Eye Show. This is the time when we like to take your calls. So if you have a question, go ahead and give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call. And there is a toll-free number as well if you're calling from the neighbor islands or if you're out of town listening to us on the iHeartRadio app. You can reach us toll-free. It's 1-888-565-8383. Go ahead and write that down, 888-565-8383. Here on Oahu, it's 521-8383. If you have a question for the doctor, you can get some advice right here over the radio. And we've been talking about a number of different types of eye problems and eye issues. I want to bring up some news that I've come across over the past week or two. And there's an article here about flaxseed oil supplements and how they may be helpful for people who have a condition known as dry eye. So we have a study here that this reports. It says high doses of flaxseed oil supplements may help to improve symptoms of dry eyes. In a preliminary study, 12 people who worked themselves up to taking 9,000 milligrams a day of flaxseed oil reported substantially less itching, dryness, burning, and eye fatigue after 3 months. Also, oily secretions from the meibomian glands in their eyelids increased. Failure of these glands to produce or secrete oil does produce dry eye symptoms. The findings were presented at the annual meeting of the American Academy of Ophthalmology. So dry eye syndrome seems to affect about 12 million Americans. Tears are a combination of water, moisture, oils, water for moisture, oils for lubrication, mucus for even spreading of the tears, and antibodies and proteins for resistance to infection. People in the study all had a problem with oil secretions from their meibomian glands. So the study researcher believes the average American's high-fat diet is partially to blame, at least in part, because the fats get thick and can't move out of the oil glands. We believe that due to their high omega-3 fat content, flaxseed oils soften the secretions so they can flow more easily. Previous research has linked a diet rich in omega-3 containing fish to a lower risk of dry eyes in women. So basically, as we look at the study, it says here, not everyone can tolerate 9,000 milligrams a day of flaxseed oil. Some people develop diarrhea and intestinal distress taking even 1,000 milligrams a day. It would be virtually impossible to get that much flaxseed oil from the diet without supplementation. In the study, people started out taking 3,000 milligram capsules per day for 2 weeks. the dose was gradually increased. I think they're onto something here, but not everyone will respond the same way, says Samuel Amstutz, MD, an ophthalmologist at Green Vision in Wichita, Kansas. Amstutz asks why the researchers didn't test omega-3 fish oil supplements, which might be easier to tolerate against dry eye syndrome. The doctor who did the study said he wanted to better control the experiment. It's hard to know how much fish oil every person is eating in his diet. So omega-3 supplements should work. Okay, so of course, the caution at the end of this article is if you want to or consider taking omega-3 supplements or any other supplement, you should talk to your healthcare providers and ask them about the potential risk of any side effects. It turns out that some of these oils, flaxseed oil, can cause some systemic side effects that you want to know about under some circumstances. For example, people taking some of these omega-3 fatty acids sometimes have a longer bleeding time. And so if you're undergoing surgery, that might be something the surgeon wants to be aware of. Okay, so like anything, whether it's medicine or you buy it over the counter, there's always a potential for other effects other than what you're using it for or side effects. And so just be aware of that. I have an article here about embryonic stem cells. Okay, it says here, embryonic stem cell-derived retinal pigment epithelium safely transplanted into human patients. Okay, so what's the retinal pigment epithelium, also known as the RPE? This is a structure inside the back of the eye which helps to support the retina. The pigmented tissue behind the retina is known as the pigment epithelium, and this pigmented tissue helps to provide support for the retina to keep it healthy. Without this retinal pigment epithelium, the retinal cells do not survive well and do not function well. It also helps to absorb light, that is scattered light inside the eye because it's a pigmented tissue. So it says here, this prospective study assessed the safety and tolerability of subretinal transplantation of human embryonic stem cells derived retinal pigment epithelium cells in two patients, one with advanced Stargardt's macular dystrophy and the other with dry macular degeneration. At 4 months after the procedure, the cells seemed to have transplanted into both patients without abnormal proliferation, without formation of abnormal growths or graft rejection. Vision improved from hand motions to 2800 in the Stargardt's patient, and vision seemed to improve in the dry macular degeneration patient as well. The authors are uncertain at this point whether any of the visual gains recorded are due to the transplanted cells, the use of immunosuppressive drugs, or a placebo effect. So it's an interesting first start to see if, in fact, this can be done with these stem cells to be transplanted into the eye and the retinal pigment epithelium, but we don't know really what the results of this type of treatment are yet. So this treatment clearly is in its infancy, but it looks like it'd be interesting for the future. All right, I've got Dr. Stephen Ree on the line. Dr. Ree is our head of cornea and external disease at the Hawaiian Eye Center and one of our comprehensive ophthalmologists both in the Wahiawa and Hilo office. Hi, Dr. Ree, how are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, Dr. Chitra. It's been great.
Good. So what's up this morning?
I had wanted to talk about growths on the eyelid. It's really funny. Over the past 2 weeks or so, I've been seeing a lot of patients come in complaining of like little growths that they've noticed. Some of them have them for years, and they've noticed growth recently, and they decided to come in and check it out. And I'm glad they do this because the growths can be anything from a benign like skin tag to something more serious like a skin cancer. That's kind of what we worry about, especially here in Hawaii, since the sun, you know, is shining all day long, all year long, and the skin cancer, you know, rates are a little bit higher here. So whenever we see growths along the eyelid or anywhere near the eyes, we kind of worry about that. For the most part, the growths are benign. Usually people complain of little either skin tags or wart-like growths either on the eyelid or on the edge of the eyelid, and it's bothersome. It's unsightly, and sometimes they're big enough that they actually kind of droop over and cover their vision, so people are really bothered by that. And we could usually just surgically remove those, and it's really easy to do. Sometimes you may need a stitch or two, and they usually heal pretty well. And what's good about removing them is we can actually send it to the pathologist, and they can study it under the microscope and tell us exactly what it is. If the growths are a little bit more expensive, or if they have other things like loss of eyelashes or bleeding or stuff like that, it's a little bit more ominous, and those are possible signs of different types of skin cancer. So if you do see anything along your eyelids, along the eyelid skin, either a growth or discoloration or anything like that, it's always a good idea to get that checked out. If you notice anything like that on your skin, anywhere on your skin, it's always a good idea to get it checked out by a doctor.
They say the skin is the biggest organ we have, right?
That's right. That's right. And it's exposed 24 hours a day.
So we got to watch out for it and protect it so that it continues to protect us. Well, that's excellent advice, Dr. Ian. I appreciate your calling in and telling us about that. And I know you're seeing patients this morning, so have a great day in the office.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll see you next week.
Aloha. Dr. Stephen Rhee is our ophthalmologist at Hawaiian Eye Center, who is a specialist in cornea and external disease. He also takes care of a wide range of medical conditions with the eyes, ranging from cataract to glaucoma to eyelid conditions, as you just heard him talking about. One of the questions that comes up about eyelid things, eyelid little lesions, we call them lesions, they're little bumps, lumps, growths, etc., is whether or not insurance will pay to have them removed. And basically, the answer is that in many cases, insurance will pay to have a growth removed, and particularly if one of the following factors is involved. Number one, if the growth is causing trouble for the patient. So if it's causing itching, or it's causing irritation, or it's causing redness or swelling, or it's blocking the vision in some way, or causing the eyelid to droop down and block the vision, then that is going to be covered by insurance to remove it. The other types of growth that are covered by insurance to remove them are growths that have a high risk of being cancers. If we have a suspicion that it's a cancerous growth, then the insurance will cover having that removed so that we can send it to the lab, send it to the pathologist, as Dr. Rhee said, and have them evaluate it under the microscope to see if, in fact, it's a benign growth that's just a little lump on the lid or a cancerous growth. Most cancers that occur on the eyelids are only locally affect you only locally, meaning that they affect the eyelid. If you remove the whole growth, the whole cancer, it's gone. But there are a few forms of cancers that can occur on the eyelids, like melanomas and sebaceous cell carcinomas, which actually can metastasize to other parts of the body and can cause serious general health problems. And so all of these things are worth checking out. Even the ones that are only locally invasive, if they grow big enough, they can cause serious damage to the structures around the eye and loss of function of the eye itself because of damage to the supporting structures. So something to bear in mind that if you have a little growth or bump on the eyelid, and particularly if it's changing over time, go ahead and have that checked out. We're going to take a short break. When we get back, we're going to do some more eye news and, of course, take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-521-8383. 1-800-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.